Down in our state capital, the Jackets are hosting the Washington Capitals in Game 4 of that series. 6:30 pregame tonight with friend of show, Ryan Mitchell. It's a one-hour pregame, is it not?
That's right, yeah.
One-hour pregame. They'll drop the puck right around 7:30 tonight. And speaking of our state capital, that's our next stop. We head on down to Columbus to check in with our good buddy, Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. Dunny, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We are great, man. We've missed you the last couple of weeks. Things have been kind of crazy around here, but I know things have been crazy for you also. I want to start. We're going to come around to the Blue Jackets as well because I know you'll be down at Nationwide tonight covering that game, but I want to begin with the Ohio State spring game. We heard a lot from a number of different programs around the country knowing that the weather has been god-awful throughout the course of this quote-unquote spring. And I know the weather had at least a little bit of an effect on that spring game last week. What kind of effect did it have?
The only effect it really had was moving the game time up a couple hours to 11:45 a.m. instead of 1:45 p.m. And it also moved the lacrosse game against Michigan that was supposed to be around 11:30 and moved that to Friday night. And, you know, it moved halftime. There was no halftime. They went straight from the second to third quarter. So there was no fastest student. There was no who's got the biggest arm for the Buckeye quarterbacks, for the former players and all that. But it was a running clock the fourth quarter, the third quarter. I'm sorry, for the second half, the third quarter was 8 minutes long instead of 10. So it had an effect in that, but there was no effect in the actual play of the game and how everything was played. You still had the three quarterbacks swinging the ball all over the place. You still had the running backs running a little bit. So it wasn't like they were missing out on anything and they weren't doing anything. It was just the setup for the game and then the rules for the game itself that had to be adjusted.
Quick question while we're on that topic. I've never been a huge fan of spring games just because I just don't think they're worth the time. But I know there are some fan bases out there that are on the opposite end of that spectrum. Here's my question to you. A lot of programs canceled their spring games altogether because the weather presented a whole different set of challenges. You think we're seeing some of the pomp and circumstance, the promotions, things like that? Do you think they're going away anytime soon, or do you think this was kind of just a one-year deal and it was just predicated on the elements of the weather?
Oh, I think this was just the elements of the weather. I can tell you for Ohio State, there's a big reason why the spring game wasn't canceled. That was because the game was sold out. They had 80,000 seats sold. Part of the stadium is under construction. That's why it was only 80,000 and not 100-some-odd thousand. And it's also big for recruiting. You want to talk about Michigan cancels their spring game on Thursday and a couple other programs canceled their spring game earlier in the week. You better bet Urban Meyer was not going to have a canceled spring game because he probably had a couple recruits that were going to Michigan that came down to Ohio State instead to check out some Ohio State football and check out Ohio State's facilities instead of checking up that team up north.
Who were some of the major individual standouts? Again, I know that with these spring games, they've tailored these so that you're not playing in traditional conditions, but were there a couple of guys that really stood out to you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. DeMario McCall always stands out in the spring game. He led the receiver group with six catches. And also Benjamin Victory had 5 catches, I believe 90-some-odd yards and a touchdown. Those are the two guys that stood out on offense. Along with the quarterbacks, you had each quarterback kind of show off the best that they can do, with Tate Martell being able to run the ball and being an effective athlete on the ground, Joe Burrow being able to do a little bit of both, being able to run and escape some pressure and throw some accuracy. And then Dwayne Haskins threw probably the prettiest ball for a touchdown of the game to Jalen Harris, just put it right over the cornerback, right into Harris's hands. So all three quarterbacks kind of showed what they had. On the defensive end, the guy that really showed up to me was Baron Browning and Sean Wade. Wade had the lone interception of the game, the only turnover from the spring game, and played very well against some of the receivers. And Baron Browning was just all over the place, and he played really well as well.
Sean, you mentioned DeMario McCall, North Ridgeville, Grant, a lot of folks up here are very interested in what he has to do. Just junior, going into his junior year next year, you mentioned he was doing a great job catching the ball out of the backfield. Do you think that'll be a little bit more his role next season when the year rolls around?
I think I know DeMario McCall will 90%, 95%, he will be the starting punt returner and kickoff returner for Ohio State. They want to get that kid the ball and in space. I could see him being more of a traditional, Ohio State traditional H-back role player, kind of what Curtis Samuel was a couple years ago, and get him the ball that way, kind of what they do a little bit now with Paris Campbell and have him run a couple shallow cross routes and see what he can do turning the ball up the field. I can see a lot of that with DeMario McCall.
We're talking with Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. He is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. All right, Dunny, I'm going to ask you one more question about Ohio State football, and then I'm going to turn it over to our Blue Jacket expert, Mr. Matt Douglas. I'll let you guys talk about Game 4 tonight after this final OSU question. And I guess the question I have for you is, what kinds of questions are still lingering as we head into this, I guess they call it a dead period between now and July, or I guess early August before they get things going and practice again?
The big question is who's the starting quarterback? You know, Ohio State still doesn't have a starting quarterback. Nothing was announced after the game on Saturday. Nothing is still known after talking to assistant coaches yesterday. So, you know, who is the starting quarterback? We still don't know. We know the starting center right now is Brady Taylor. We know a couple other questions or answers. We know Matthew Burrell is transferring out of the program, at least according to him on his Instagram page. Who's going to be starting on the other field safety on the defense side of the ball? So there's a few questions that we don't know yet, and everything I think will kind of come into play as we start gearing up towards the summer and into July and to workouts, and then we start practice in August.
All right, let's talk a little Blue Jackets then, I guess, on that note. Obviously, Blue Jackets at home tonight. The crowd was ruckus on Tuesday night for game number 3. Torts in the press conference today saying he really felt the Blue Jackets played their best game on Tuesday night. He's hoping, I guess, for that same thing to come out here tonight. Have you ever seen a series like this, though, especially for Columbus? I mean, they've never really played one like this. Every single game's gone into overtime. I mean, this is Metro Division rivals right here.
Absolutely. This will be the 8th time these two teams have played each other this year. And if you go back, including the regular season, so almost every game has been a one-goal game. Mm-hmm. So that's how great these two teams are matched up. And when you look in the grand scheme of things, Washington is, I guess you could say, the 2 seed and Columbus is the 7, if you look at it that way. So for these two teams to be so evenly matched up the way they are for a 2-versus-7 matchup is pretty incredible. But that's kind of the way of the NHL playoffs and what the NHL playoffs are kind of known for. You know, yes, it's a best-of-7 series, but how goals can be scored and they just kind of come out of nowhere, that's the interesting thing about NHL and the hockey playoffs. That's what makes it, in my opinion, the best of the 4 major sports playoffs in the country.
Yeah, you get in, you legitimately have a shot when you get into the Stanley Cup Finals. What's the talk of
Absolutely.
Sergei Bobrovsky down there? I mean, that guy has done everything for the Blue Jackets through these first 3.
There's no doubt about it. Sergei Bobrovsky is definitely the best player in the Columbus Blue Jackets. He stopped 54 of 58 shots in Game 2. You know, yes, he'd love to have that get that last one back for Game 3, but he's been playing out of his mind as he usually does. Late in the regular season. Not always the case in the playoffs in the last 2 series with Pittsburgh, but that might be a Pittsburgh thing, not so much a playoff thing. If the Jackets do get out of the first round, more than likely they will meet Pittsburgh in the second. So hopefully him getting a playoff series win will help as far as his mental mentality going against Pittsburgh. But again, you need to win 2 more games in order to even get there.
Sure. Jackets have looked good, though. They've kept Ovechkin fairly quiet. On the power play, he's been able to get some goals, and Clarkson was the other big threat, obviously, had a strong performance in game number 1, but has been fairly quiet to that point as well.
Yes, keeping Alexander Ovechkin quiet is definitely a big key. On the power play, he just stays over in that left circle, and he just waits and waits and waits. He's out there for 2 minutes because he barely skates. He just kind of stays in that area, but it's so effective that it's very tough to stop him when he's over there. Because if you put a shadow on him, you still get left 4-on-3. So keeping him contained when it's 5-on-5, That's probably the best way to stop Alexander Ovechkin and stopping everybody else in the Capitals as well, because everything goes through him.
Good stuff. Well, Dunny, hopefully the Jackets can go up 3-1 in the series tonight, and hopefully you won't have to spend too much time in our nation's capital, because I know you'll be following the Jackets as they go back to D.C., no?
As of now, it's kind of just kind of up in the plans are up in the air, as always, with our plans and what we'll be doing.
All right. Well, we'll certainly keep an eye on that, Dunny, and we hope to have you on next week to talk about the Jackets and, well, I guess more than likely the Pens. At least that's the way that other series is looking right now.
Yeah,
right?
Hopefully. That's fine with me.
I would say hopefully just the Blue Jackets victory tonight, and then we'll see what happens on Saturday in Game 5.
Good stuff, Dunny. Always appreciate the time, my friend, and we'll do it again soon.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
Thank you. Again, that's Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus talking Ohio State spring game and also diving into the Columbus Blue Jackets.